Welcome to Peds in a Podcast, where our team of specialists shares with you tips on all things health and development for your little ones. My name is Leanne Tran, and I'm one of the psychologists here at Peds in a Pod. Are you concerned about your child's language? Have you heard about a communication assessment but not sure what to expect? Today, I'm joined again by our speech and language expert at Peds in a Pod, Sarah Nicholas. Sarah will take us through what a communication assessment involves and what to expect. We hope it's a helpful discussion. So, Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back again.
You're welcome. We talked before about communication and how it is such a really broad topic, but also a really important foundational kind of area for kids.
Yeah.
We talked a bit about what stages, you know, the typical development for language, but then also when parents should come and ask for some help.
Yeah.
One common thing that you as speech pathologists get referrals for from our pediatricians is a communication assessment. I wondered if you could tell us what that involves. I'm imagining probably a couple of things.
So. Yeah. So, it will depend on the age of the child about what we do in a communication assessment. Mm-hmm. So maybe if I talk about our 0 to 2s, 2 to 4s and
that would be great.
So in the 0 to 2 group, we talked about this a little in the last podcast, just about the things that we're looking for in the 0 to 2 group are attention, we're looking for play skills. Mm-hmm. So play skills are a really important part of a communication assessment. And often if you came and saw me for an assessment, the first thing that we'll do is I'll have a bunch of toys out and we'll play together and I'll be looking for lots of things about communication in that play. I'll be looking for how a child can initiate with me, how a child can respond and keep the play going when we're playing, and the types of play kids do. So our early babies and little kids are just exploring toys. As you get a little bit more developed, you start using cause-effect play where I'm pressing something and something happens, like a jack-in-the-box, and then it's all excitement. And then we build up to pretend play. Pretending to talk on the phone is one of the earliest types of pretend play.
Okay.
Pretending with objects that are things that we see around, so pretend cooking, pretend with a baby. And then as we go up, we're doing more symbolic play, using objects to represent something else. So we would put a box and we'd go, that's a car, and let's do that. So we'd be looking very much, I look very much at their level of play skills. And then I'd obviously be taking... In the 0 to 2s, I personally don't do any formal assessment.
Right.
It's very much informal and play-based, but I'd be taking a language sample, which is just writing down everything the child says, and I'd also be, through play, saying some directions to see what their comprehension is like.
Sure.
So we want comprehension, looking for that two important words in a sentence. So understanding, let's get Peppa Pig up the stairs. So understanding that it's going to be Peppa Pig and understanding where we're going.
Okay.
So that's the 0 to 2s. It's very relaxed. I try and make all assessments very relaxed. So because if the child feels like they're doing a test, they do quite poorly. So then in the next group, we would start to use formal assessment. Certainly after 3, I do quite a bit of formal assessment.
Okay.
And a formal assessment, again, I would always start with a game or play, and I'd always break up the assessment with some games or play because that keeps their attention and then I can see their communication potential rather than just being bored.
Right.
So we do start at that 3 age group to actually be showing pictures. Communication assessment, so thinking about articulation, so pronunciation of words, we're showing pictures that have each sound that we say in English in every position. So that means, so for example, the p sound, I'd show a picture of a pig because that's the p in the middle, in the beginning. I'd show a picture of an apple because that's the p at the in the middle, and I'd show a picture of a cup. So that's the p right. at the end. So I could understand in every single position, can they say that sound?
Right.
And then I'd go through every single sound of English language okay. to have a look at that.
Right.
So that's our articulation assessment. So that can be a bit boring for kids because it's just naming. So that's why I make sure it's always included in a game.
Sure.
It just keeps their interest. So feeding assessment is something that actually I don't specialize in, so I don't do a lot of that, but mm-hmm. we do have people at Peds in a Pod who do feeding assessment, and maybe I'll leave that topic for
yeah, sure.
someone who specializes in that. I always listen to kids' voice because sometimes you don't, you know, if it's very husky or not a lot of, they can't project their voice. We just want to screen for that. And if there's concerns there, again, a voice specialist is better, but ENT referral, we just want to watch that.
Right.
The other area is fluency. So that's stuttering. So, that's another big topic in itself, but children generally do have a period of what we call developmental stuttering. So they will sound a little bit disfluent and stumble over words a little bit when their language has a big explosion.
Right.
So 2 to 3 years, that's the big explosive language area. And we do see some kids that are a bit disfluent.
Sorry to interrupt, is that yeah. kind of coming from them learning a lot of words at once? So
yeah.
they have less opportunity to
bit
practice
overwhelmed.
Yeah, each particular word.
Yeah, and they've got so much to say and
right.
they're so excited because they're just their life is amazing because I can say all this stuff. And particularly when kids get very excited, they stumble over words quite a lot as they try to make sense of it.
Sure, okay.
In most cases, that's a developmental disfluency. In some
yeah.
cases, it's not, and it does depend on the type of stuttering that they're doing. So
sure.
it's always good to get checked. I didn't
yeah.
mention that in our last podcast.
Oh, that's
but
okay.
there you go. I'll mention it in this one. And then the big core part of my assessment is social use of language and language. So language
okay.
is, do I understand what other people are saying, and can I produce sentences to explain myself and to explain things?
Mm-hmm.
So we would look at pictures and I would say a sentence and the kids would select which picture relates to that sentence.
Okay.
I would ask them to follow some directions about a picture. I would ask them to name some pictures and to make up some sentences about pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be in our 3 to 5 year age group. And we're also looking for social use of language. Can I have a conversation that goes back and forth, or is it just the child talking about what they want to talk about constantly and not stopping and not really sharing information back and forth? Now, kids like to talk about themselves a lot, so, but they still do show interest in others typically from that 3 to 4 age group, and that grows quite a lot as time goes on. As we head into school age group, which
mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep going, school
sure.
age group, now it becomes a little bit more complex. The assessments are more formal. There's a lot to cover in a school age child because they know so much.
Right.
So we are then doing social use of language. We're doing language articulation for those kids who are still developing.
Mm-hmm.
And literacy comes in at
right.
that point too. So the literacy assessments that we would do, we would look at those underlying literacy skills, and we call those phonological processing.
Mm-hmm.
Just means how I listen to sounds in words. Do I understand that a word is made up of some individual sounds? And can I work out what those individual sounds are? And then can I mix those sounds together and have fun with those sounds to make a different word?
Mm-hmm.
So being able to do that is a really important component of learning to read. And then obviously, as you learn to read, there's the phonics component. Do I understand that that letter makes that sound, or that combination of letter makes that sound?
Right.
And can I then blend those together to form a word, or sound them out? And then write them down. So it becomes a lot more involved. So you can see there's quite a progression in communication development, and with that comes the amount of assessment that we need to do. Mm-hmm. So for a little one, in one session, I really know exactly what's going on. But as you get older, the communication assessments for older kids generally will take more than one session to do, because there's a lot more things that kids are expected to know.
Yeah, okay. And I like your point about taking your time and making it kind of alternating with play-based things as well, because it's really important, I think, to know that kids are still paying attention and engaged and interested when you're using these assessments to make, you know, decisions about what what to do for the child.
Yeah, so we're trying to, I'm trying to see when kids come to me, their communication potential. What's the best they can do?
Mm.
In the classroom, it's not often the best they can do, because in the classroom, there's so many other things that they need to be able to do to use communication. They need to have fantastic attention skills in the classroom. They need to have fantastic executive functioning skills. And I think we'll have another person talking about executive functioning, but it's really planning and organizing and paying attention to the right things so that we can get ready to learn. In the classroom, there's lots of sensory things like noise around, visual distraction. So we're taking that all away in an assessment session, and we're saying we're going to have fun, so that will keep your attention. Mm-hmm. We're blocking out all the other things that are tricky for you, and we're going to see what can you actually achieve, what is your potential, even if that's not what's happening for you in natural environments. We just want to see, can you do it?
Yeah. And when you mentioned formal assessment before, so generally that's, you know, assessments that then we can compare to how typical kids go, so we have a bit of a measure of, you know, exactly how big a difficulty might be or whether they are in line with most of their peers and that kind of thing.
So with formal assessments, they do, we do obtain a score. Now, scoring kids against other kids has its pros and cons, but certainly for providing that information to school or to your pediatrician, that is really important information, because it gives that us that understanding of, okay, your language might be within the average range, it might be a little bit below, or it might be somewhat below, but then what about your other skills? Is it just language that's below, or is it other things that are below? And it really gives the pediatrician or the school some information about, okay, we think actually it's specific language impairment or specifically speech and language are causing our problems with learning or with joining in with peers, or are there other things? And then we need to look at the broader picture, which is where psychology comes heavily in. So we often refer to each other because we're trying to work out what's happening in the child's learning profile. Is it just communication, or is it broader than that? And your cognitive assessments and achievement assessments do that for us.
Yeah. So one thing that I have a question about, whether there's anything parents need to do before coming to see you. The big things I think are probably having a hearing test to ensure that kids can hear. I wondered if there's any more things.
So we're lucky at Peds in a Pod because most of my referrals would come from a pediatrician. So the pediatrician has already gone through a lot of the case history and made the referrals that we need before kids see me. So often they've already had their hearing test, or the hearing test is, you know, quite close to when we're going to be seeing them. So having that streamlined process does make a big difference, but hearing tests definitely. The other thing that's really important is if your child is taking some form of medication, particularly for attention, it's really important to take the same medication when you're coming to see me, because some families do say, oh, I didn't let them have their medication because I wanted you to see them like they usually are. But actually that medication is what helps them to sustain their attention so that I can see their potential. Because sometimes if you don't take that medication in the morning, then all I end up getting to see is a child who's struggling to be able to sustain their attention, and that impacts on their assessment results. So, yeah, hearing tests definitely. It'd be great if they had a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
But, you know, that
as much as you can control.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. But also just to reassure your child that it's, we're just going to have some fun and we're just going to work out what's easy for them and what's hard for them. It's not meant to be a big test environment like putting a lot of pressure on kids. This is just a fun appointment to see what's easy, what's hard, and we want to make it better for your child. So, we do have our photos up on the website, so some kids do like to see what we look like before coming in. So that's a nice thing that they can do too, is just have a look and to reassure your child that it's not a big test that you should be pressured about. You don't have to do well. It's just going to be something fun.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Thank you so much. We may talk in more detail about some of those assessments later on. So if any parents have any questions about it, we'd love to have you back to tell us a little bit more.
Okay, thank you for having me again.
Thank you.